Green energy has made big strides in Michigan over the past several years. That's thanks in large part to a 2008 law that required the state to get 10% of its energy from renewable sources by 2015. That 10 by 2015 mandate is about to expire, and the state is on track to meet its goal. But what happens next? Can Michigan continue its move toward renewables? Or will efforts to green the energy industry stall without a legislative mandate? A report released today by the University of Michigan Energy Institute tries to answer those questions. Joining us to talk about the report and the future of renewable energy in Michigan is co-author Jeremiah Johnson, who's also an assistant professor at University of Michigan's School of Natural Resources. Welcome back to Current State, Jeremiah.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me on.
As I mentioned a moment ago, the 10 by 2015 mandate is set to expire this year. A proposed amendment to the Michigan Constitution in 2012 would have required the state to adopt 25% of renewables by 2025, but it failed. So what's next for Michigan when it comes to renewable energy policy? Does the state have any plans about how they'll move forward?
Well, Mark, our study found there's a great opportunity to expand that renewable standard. That 2008 RPS that you mentioned that went into effect, it was met with some skepticism when it passed, and there were some warnings of large increases to electricity prices. And what we saw was that the utilities and the generation developers really stepped up. We saw onshore wind contracts coming in at lower than expected prices, and the renewable energy surcharges that were expected were reduced or ultimately eliminated. Hmm. So a lot cheaper than expected, although that ballot initiative a couple years ago failed. And so at the Energy Institute, we wanted to put out a neutral examination of what some alternative futures for RPS could look like, what the impacts for emissions would be, for costs, and the generation mix here in Michigan.
And basically you took different percentages and applied them to different timelines, is that correct?
That is correct. So we looked at ultimately achieving 20%, 25%, and 40% on varying timelines.
Mm-hmm. How does Michigan compare to the other states that have renewable energy standards?
Well, we're playing catch-up, I think. We were a little bit late to the game with the adoption of the first RPS, but we've executed against it well. So there are some states with far higher standards. There are some states with no standards at all. But what we found is that the resources that remain beyond that 10% are of good quality and can be developed in manners that have only a modest impact to ratepayers.
What does Michigan's energy portfolio look like right now here, January 2015? I mean, we're essentially near or at 10% renewables. Where does the other 90% come from?
A lot of coal. So over half of our generation is coal right now. We have a large contribution from nuclear. Approximately one quarter of our generation is nuclear. A sizable but smaller contribution from natural gas. And then by the end of this year, we expect about 10% renewables, about half of that being wind, and the remainder being hydro, biomass, landfill gas.
How big a driver was the 10 by 2015 mandate as far as getting Michigan on a renewable energy path? Was that really the linchpin here, or would this have happened to some extent without it?
I don't think so. I think that the wind development in particular was driven by this mandate. So the utilities had to procure enough renewable energy to meet that 10% goal, and what we saw were some big utility-scale onshore wind farms pop up as a direct result of this mandate.
Our guest is Jeremiah Johnson, assistant professor at U of M's School of Natural Resources. We're talking about a new report released today by the University of Michigan Energy Institute, which looks at alternative futures for Michigan with regard to renewable energy policies. I want to ask you, the new report looks at the impact of expanding the renewable portfolio standard. Can you tell us a little bit about how the three different scenarios compare to each other?
Sure thing. So we look at a scenario where we achieve 20% by 2030, so that would be doubling the standard. A scenario that gets 25% by 2025, something similar to that failed ballot initiative. And a target that gets 40% by 2035, so the most ambitious of the three. And what we saw for the first two, the 20% and the 25% targets, is that most of the cost-effective generation, renewable generation, to meet those standards would occur through more onshore wind. That's appears to be the best, most cost-effective renewable option that Michigan has to date. And the best resource is up in the Thumb. We have a big transmission project that is wrapping up right now that will help us access some of that resource. And what we saw in both of those scenarios that the cost impacts were fairly modest. Less than 2% increase to ratepayers for the 20% case and about a 3% increase in costs for the 25% case. So a typical household, a household that looks like mine, for the 25% case may have a $2.60 increase per month in their bill to double our renewables.
Hmm. Now, where are the utilities with regard to this? Are they what do they tend to make of those cost estimates?
Well, I think during the debate over the ballot initiative, the cost estimates were far higher. But in that interim time, what we've seen is a lot of the wind contracts that are actually signed, the real wind contracts for wind projects, have come in much lower than forecasted. We see wind contracts being signed for about $50 a megawatt hour, which is far, far lower than what was expected several years ago. We've also seen the utilities step up and develop and own their own wind generation. And so I think that there's a great opportunity for the utilities to ultimately be partners and champions for expanded renewables in the state.
To what extent, though, do they still resist this trend? Or can you objectively say that Michigan's utilities are enthusiastic partners in moving forward with renewable energy?
No, and I think that the utilities are very sensitive to anything that would impact rates. So what I hope that this study does is shows that those impacts are quite modest and the opportunities for environmental improvement are quite large. And weighing those two things in tandem could suggest that the potential for those environmental benefits far outweighs the costs. You know, I think that reasonable people can come to different conclusions on this matter, but the small size of the rate impact here and the large environmental benefit hopefully will influence some to see that this is a positive approach.
How will EPA's recently released carbon emission standards impact how Michigan moves forward on renewable energy?
Great. So that is the elephant in the room. And right now we have the proposed Clean Power Plan, and we expect the final version of that plan perhaps this summer. And that plan, if it looks at all like the proposed plan, will call for really large reductions in the carbon intensity, the CO2 per megawatt hour of energy produced in Michigan. And there are a few ways to meet that. The EPA suggests efficiency either through consumer-side efficiency or efficiency at power plants. You could do fuel switching, so coal to natural gas is a viable option to reduce carbon emissions. And then, of course, there are renewables. And what our study shows is that our most ambitious of the renewable targets, that 40% goal, would get us most of the way there if that final Clean Power Plan looks like the proposed version that's out there today.
We have been talking about a new report released today by the University of Michigan Energy Institute dealing with differing scenarios as far as Michigan's future and renewable energy in our state. Our guest has been a co-author of that report, Jeremiah Johnson, an assistant professor at U of M School of Natural Resources. Thanks for joining us, Jeremiah.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.